My best podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Mondas podcast. I don't know what episode this is. It's getting crazy now. It's well in the 40s. It's madness. So Mondas podcast, and we're going to be talking about Sylvester McCoy, someone who is obviously I'm quite a fan of his because obviously he was my first Doctor. My first episodes were around about Remembrance of the Dark, Silver Nemesis, the anniversary time when I was about. Just 5-6 sort of time, you know. So it's obviously, you know, you have a lot more fondness for whoever your Doctor is when you first start watching it. Obviously, got taken off criminally straight away. Yeah. So basically, I have a lot of time for late McCoy, early McCoy. Yeah. You know, I actually did a version of this podcast with the My News podcast, and for some reason, I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared off the computer, something like that. So I'm doing it again, and this time I'm doing it on me Todd. No pun intended. You got to start at the start, you know. Time in the Rani. Well. I obviously didn't see it on transmission, but then I've since seen it only one time, and that was enough, to be honest with you. A massive fan of the theme tune, you know, the rework theme tune. And I've got as a ringtone and stuff, you know, I genuinely do like it. And I like all the new credits and all that sort of thing. Because obviously for me, it was when I was a kid, waiting for Morgan to finish and then waiting for Doctor Who to start. So, you know, it always had that exciting thing whenever I hear the McCoy theme tune. But in terms of this episode, the Rani was never particularly very good. You know, Mark of the Rani, I managed to pick that up on VHS. Oh, 3 or 4 years ago, and I wasn't impressed with the weird Geordie accents and stuff, you know. So Time in the Rani, it was an interesting one. Obviously they got Pip and Jane Baker to come back for this, to write this, and Ted Traps and all that. Oh god, you know, it was, and Bonnie Langford was in it, and of course Kate O'Morris pretend to be Mel and stuff. It was a Quarry episode. Obviously, we've had a few Quarry episodes in our time, but yeah, not the best start. I don't think there's a lot of Doctors have very near start stories, but this is definitely one of them. It doesn't really hit the ground running at all. Same as Twin Dilemma, you know. Castro Valva, not so, but that's another story. Next one, Paradise Towers. An ex of mine actually only had two VHSs of Doctor Who, and this was one of them. So yeah, and I'll tell you what the other one is in a bit, and it's not good. Paradise Towers with Richard Briers in a role, and they're obviously doing the whole kind of casting stunt people and stuff, and trying to be, he was quite famous, he was in that, so trying to be a bit political and stuff, you know, in this one. And again, I can't really say that positive things about this, you know. You've got that caretaker robot-y thing and stuff, and it doesn't really work for me, to be honest with you. Four parts seems long, to be honest with you, you know. Stephen Wyatt, who I think wrote Greatest Show in the Galaxy late in the McCoy run. I do like Greatest Show in the Galaxy, but this isn't particularly very good. The early McCoy, I think, gets panned, and I think I understand why, because they weren't quite sure what they were doing, I don't think. But yeah, the next one, wait for it, Flying Bus, Delta and the Bannerman. I only saw this last year for the first time, and 1950s with Ken Dodd. Ooh, it's not what you want. You don't want to, you know, you don't want Ken Doyle anywhere, really. But, because he just talks forever. Three parts, too long. You know, Flying Bus, when Planet of Dead came on, everyone was like, Flying Bus is going to be shit. And it was, apart from Michelle Ryan's arse, to be honest with you. But yeah, you obviously had the couple of American lads as well, who were just inexplicably. It was set in Wales. You know, this is what the future was going to be. You know, all Welshness. Next one, Dragonfire. Big fan. No, I'm not a big fan, but I do enjoy it. You know, because it's I watched it recently, and it's I don't know. It's the first one that you've got Ace in. You get rid of Mel, which is always a good thing. You know, it's not amazing. It's quite a studio-y sort of thing. It's got some nice moments where you've got kind of weird sort of horror sequences where people's faces melt. I like that. That was good. You've got Glitz coming back as well, from Trial of Time Lord. And then yeah, you know, it's he's quite a good baddie, this Kane guy and stuff, and it's kind of a bridge, I think, between the two. Between the darkness and the kind of not quite sure what we're doing here, we're being a bit campy, and it's all a bit pantomimey, you know. And it's by Ian Briggs, who did the classic Curse of Fenric. More of that later. So yeah, so I enjoy it, and it's obviously Ace's first one. And so this is about the sort of time when I first started watching it as well. And you had Remembrance of the Daleks was next. You know, Remembrance is class at the end of the day. It's you know, it was the time where they were throwing everything back. You know, Daleks Asylum stuff, written by Ben Aaronvitch, who's done some good writing recently. I think it was Waters of London or Rivers of London. I could be wrong, but apparently that's really good. Yeah, you've obviously got like the Hand of Omega and stuff. Omega, yeah. You've got two factions of Daleks. It's set in London in 1963. You even get a cheeky bit where they're just about to start Doctor Who. It's obviously set around when it first started November. And yeah, it's really good. And to me, I think it's a classic sort of Doctor Who story, you know. It even mentions Tottler's Yard as well and stuff, and it's one for the fans, you know. And the Daleks are pretty nifty. You've got Davros, an all right start because he's not overused, you know. So for me, it's always one I always go back to because I think it's really good. And it shows that mysterious Dalek, shows that mysterious Doctor, and you've obviously got Ace smashing the hell out of a Dalek as well in the school. Yeah, so no, it's I mean, the only bit where they get slightly a bit of thing with the whole kind of ooh, the race thing and all that when they've got the thing on the window and stuff, and Doctor Who trying to be kind of political and stuff. Sometimes they try their best, but it kind of falls a little bit flat. But apart from that, I think it's a bit of a classic, you know, especially for in what we've had up to now in the McCoy era. And I mentioned VHS that an ex had, and Happiness Patrol was the other one, and I watch it. Yep, you guessed it. It had the Candyman. Fucking hell! Oh my god. Yeah, Candyman, load of pap. Really, you know, there's no. It was rubbish, really. You know, it's like people. Oh, you know, a lot of people just laugh at this episode and actually point at you. You know, just going, "Ah, do you remember the Candyman?" Even people who don't even like Doctor Who know about the Candyman because it was that crap. You know, and it's just Candyman with a K, by the way, as well. They're just licorice all sorts, idiot. Oh, I don't know what was going on. And they had Silver Nemesis after that as well. And I like Silver Nemesis, even though it's, you know, it's the anniversary story. It's nonsense. Of course it is. It's ridiculous if you think about it. It's bizarro, but it works, you know. I mean, it was one of the first ones I had on video, and it had the kind of nice extended sequences and stuff, and little behind the scenes stuff, you know. I mean, the whole kind of Lady Payne fought and the neo-Nazis coming all for the same thing, it was crazy, and they're all going to wind and stuff. And but yeah, I don't know. When I watch it, I like it. You know, it's one of them sort of things where it might be a little bit of a guilty pleasure, but it, you know, everything's thrown at it, you know, it doesn't quite work, and it's a little bit ridiculous, especially with the skinheads and stuff like that. And it was a bit naff at times, but you know, fundamentally, it's the mysterious meddling doctor and stuff, and it's all dark and stuff. And I like that, you know. And I think it's it was good. And don't look at it as, oh, is it it's a bit rubbish or something, and the Sidemen a bit crap. No, I just embrace it as like the kind of a fun episode, really. The next one is Greatest Show in the Galaxy, and I enjoyed this. You know, as I said, Steven Wyatt's early episode was a bit in the air, but this is pretty good. You know, it's like, I think most people admit that circuses and clowns are pretty scary. So initially, you know, whoa, you know, it's always going to be scary. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the best one, but it definitely. I think I first read the Target novel of this before I watched it again. And yeah, I enjoyed it, and it was creepy, and it was you know, some of the characters weren't the most rounded or anything like that, you know, like Bell the Boy and all sort of thing, that was a bit naff and stuff. But them you know, the clowns when they got going, like with the hearse going past and stuff, and you know, yeah, pretty scary, really. You know, I wouldn't, you know, if I was wandering about and I saw them coming towards us or something, I would want to get the hell out of there, you know. And another favourite of mine is next is Battlefield, and that's again by Ben Aaronvich, and it's one for the fans. You know, I think if you were just tuning into this, you'd be like, what the hell is this? You know, you got Merlin and Brigadier coming back, and you know, it's crazy, really, in theory. But when I got the DVD a couple of years ago, even my dad was like, I got that from my dad for Christmas, because he was like, oh, I remember that. I remember Battlefield and stuff, and he enjoyed it, you know. And I think it's one of them sort of ones that it's you know, it's suspended your kind of rationale, because it's you know, you got the Brigadier, it was like ancient, and he's back and he's doing his thing. Then everyone loves the Merlin legend anyway and stuff, you know, and adding to that mythos as well, and the Doctor kind of, who is he, you know, is the Doctor Merlin, and, you know, it's a bit mad the concepts and stuff. But it's great to see the Brig back as well. But it's just, yeah, just the concepts of having kind of these kind of battles in the modern day and stuff. It's just, you know, it's a crazy story and a bit of kind of magic-y element to it as well. But it works, you know. I think that's the element of the later kind of McCoy, the darkness there. But if it was definitely more for the fans, you know, because I think McCoy started off on a bit of a dodgy note, but you know, built up. Next one, Ghostlight. Still don't really know what the hell was going on, to be honest with you. I've had it explained to us, but it was pretty good, by Mark Platt, that is. And it was confusing when I first watched it, and then when I watched it again, I was like, no, still don't get it. And yeah, it's one of them ones where it's like a three part. It's very claustrophobic. It's got kind of dealing with Ace, where Ace has passed and stuff, and how she'd seen this house and stuff, and it freaked out, so he was trying to push her back to face her fears and stuff, and what had happened here. And I couldn't really say what had happened. I mean, if you read the synopsis, you know, the Doctor takes Ace to the mysterious house Gabriel Chase. Are there any house inhabitants who are what they appear to be? What is control? What is lurking in the cellar? Why is Nimrod the butler and the Neanderthal? What will happen when light awakens? I mean, that's just crazy. It doesn't make much sense, you know. It was, you know, it is good, but I didn't really get it, you know. And a lot of people kind of have a lot of time for this, and that's fair enough. I don't dislike it, you know, but it's just a bit, whoa, what? Especially when you've had quite a lot of kind of nostalgia trips and kind of modern Doctor Who, and then you got this, and it's a bit, is it a historical piece? What is it, you know? And then my favourite is Curse of Fenric is next, and yeah, big fan of Curse of Fenric. All stuck with us ever since I first watched it, and you know, I got on video straight away. Brilliant, you know, hemovores and stuff, and it's supposed to be set near me in Northumberland, but I think it was filmed down Norfolk or something like that by Ian Briggs, and it's just brilliant, you know. You can't knock it. I mean, it's when Doctor Who is when it's best, when it's ripping stuff off like Night of the Living Dead or The Fog. The Doctor's mysterious. You got to see Ace do some sort of weird kind of, I don't know what she was trying to be. She was trying to be seductress or something. That was a bit of a bizarre one. I don't think it would be a sideline. Ace does kind of dirty chat lines, because it would be like, what are you talking about? But yeah, to me, it's a class story. You know, you've got The Fenric, yeah, you know, if you look at it initially, you might think, yeah, they look a bit ropey, but no, I don't think so. You know, I mean, but I like with the new version when you could actually see the writing come on the wall and stuff. I like that. You know, I think it was the movie version kind of adds something to it, and I like the music on it as well. I don't know, Nicholas Parsons was very good in it as well. He sold the part of the vicar as well, and it's all about the belief and stuff. And you know, it's playing the game again. It's chess. You know, it's the doctor always kind of messing with us. Who, you know, does he know more than he's telling us and stuff? And the finale, survival. Oh yes. Watched this recently again. I don't know how many times I watched it, but I like elements of it. I do. It's. I think it's a template for Russell T Davies' vision of Rose and stuff, and with Ace and going back to Perivale. It's great to have the Master back. I think the Master is very good in it. He's not just camping it up. He's good. And cat people are a bit crap, to be honest with you. I don't think they quite work. But I love the planet that the planet's realised very well. You know, I think it's like it looks very good, and it's a rarity for Doctor Who to get that right. You know, the cheetah people were a bit crap, really. And Hale and Pace, I don't know what they were doing there. Still very sad when you think about how it ended with the dubbed ending and stuff. But you know, it's not a bad story to end on. The Master was in much better form, and you got to see Ace back in the home environment and stuff, and why she left and stuff. And it hinted a lot at what it could have been. You know, I've listened to some of the Big Finish, the ones that were going to be done. And they were pretty good. It was interesting the direction they were taking Ace. I spoke to Andrew Cartmell on Untruths a couple of years ago, and he was really interested in talking about the lack of a master plan and just how it just happened. But I liked where he was going with the show, and I think I'll always kind of have a soft spot for McCoy. You know, he's never going to be my favourite ever, but I think you always do. I think, you know, a lot of people I speak to in podcast terms grew up with like Tom Baker Davison, and that's their doctor, you know, and that's great, you know, and some people now are getting into the show new, and they're kind of doctors like Tennant or Eccleston, and I think you always have that kind of first thing, you know, just the way it is, I suppose. But yeah, I have a lot of time for McCoy, and I do hope he does come back in some form for the anniversary or something, because, you know, he doesn't look too bad now, you know, he's obviously got a bit of fame through this Lord of the Rings thing coming soon. But yeah. But I just thought I'd have a little bit of ramble about McCoy, and I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.
Mundus Podcast. Mundus Podcast. With Mundus Podcast. Mundus Podcast. Mundus Podcast. Mundus Podcast. Mundus Podcast. With Mundus Podcast. 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 Mundus Podcast.